Вы слушаете радио Айда.
Oder Radio Ойда. Eine Sendung von Radio Эх auf Deutsch. Эх Ойда auf Deutsch. Jeden dritten und vierten Donnerstag im Monat. И Эх Ойда по-немецки каждый третий и четвертый четверг в 19 часов.
Guten Abend, liebe Zuhörerin, liebe Zuhörer. In unserer heutigen Sendung erzählen wir wieder von einem Film, der in Freiburger Filmforum Ende Mai, Anfang Juni dieses Jahr in Freiburg stattfand. Meine Meinung ist einer der besten Filmen vom Festival, Silent Trees von Agnieszka Zwiefka. In diesem Film geht es um eine Geschichte von einer Familie, die über eine der schlimmsten Grenzen Europas geflüchtet ist. Über diese Grenze hört man nicht so viel, aber da, was da passiert, und zwar schon seit langer Zeit, ist ziemlich tragisch. Das hat angefangen, als die belarussische Regierung den Geflüchteten Visa ausstellte. Das eigentlich war ein bisschen so ein taktischer Plan von Putin, Lukaschenko, um ein bisschen einfach Unruhe zu bringen, irgendwie ablenken von dem, was in ihrer Länder passiert. Was waren da die Motivationen? Jetzt lassen wir beiseite und über politische Hintergründe wird ein bisschen weiter in der Sendung erzählt, aber im Zentrum von dem Film, im Zentrum des Filmes, steht die Geschichte von einer Familie. Eine Familie von Kurden aus Irak. Ein Schicksal von eines 50-jährigen Mädchen, das auch mit ihrer Mutter, mit ihrer Familie über diesen Wald, einen sehr großen und gefährlichen, ihr Weg nach Europa sucht. Sie wissen aber, wie viele andere Geflüchtete nicht, dass dieser Weg ihnen von den polnischen Grenzsoldaten verweigern wird, dass die polnischen Grenzsoldaten sie einfach nicht weiter reinlassen, zurück in die Belarus kann man auch nicht. Die bleiben also eingesperrt in Kälte, in Schnee zwischen den Silent Trees, schweigende Bäumen. Leider, das passiert alles im Winter, da sind sehr viele Leute schon da totgefroren. Und Runas Mutter übersteht diese Kälte auch nicht. Und die wird in einem, die wird dann von dieser Wald dann in ein Krankenhaus in Polen gebracht, aber zu spät, die stirbt. Einfach in dem Krankenhaus.
Trzydziestoośmioletnia Kurdejka z Iraku, matka pięciorga dzieci, została znaleziona w stanie ekstremalnej hipotermii.
Und dann geht es weiter darüber, wie die Familie inklusiv Vater und kleinere Geschwister von Runa, aber vor allem wie Runa das alles überlebt, wie sie in dieser Geschichte erwachsener wird und was für Schwierigkeiten die Familie begegnet.
Zaczęliśmy walkę z najazdem niemieckim.
Jest!
Mohamed dostał o deportacji pismo.
Dobra, jest. Bez kororu pytań.
Nach dem Film gab es eine ganz tolle Diskussion unter Moderation von Mike Schlömer mit der Regisseurin, die zum Glück da war, Agnieszka Zwiewka.
Actually, this was completely the other way around than you usually work on a film. I went on the Polish-Belarusian border as a volunteer because when this situation started to happen, literally in our at our doorstep, we felt like we need to do something, you know, and then our extreme right-wing government created this no-entry zone that you were not even allowed to enter to give, you know, warm tea to these people freezing in the forests. So I was there as a part of a very large group of volunteers that were doing just that, something that we're not supposed to do. So I was there as a volunteer, and I was in this refugee camp, the only one that we were allowed to enter because it was not government run. It was run by an NGO. And I was there like, working, and then, you know, one day Runa arrived with her brothers and her father. It was just like an impulse, you know. I, the filmmaker won over the volunteer, and I just started to make this film because I believe that when you see the right protagonist and you feel this connection, then you have to follow it. So we had no idea, you know, there wasn't if there will be a film or if it's just, you know, not going to happen, and we of course had no idea if her mother will be alive or not, because we started filming the family even before she died. She was already in a hospital struggling for life, but yeah, there were many, many unknowns.
So what, I mean, you had the idea to work with Runa on this film, kind of to work together, but you also needed the trust. Without trust from both sides, I mean, no film like that would be possible.
Yeah, and you know, usually as filmmakers, we earn the trust of our protagonists over months, years sometimes. And in this case, everything really was special because the trust was immediate. I mean, after, you know, a week without we knew each other, we could film anything. They were completely transparent. And now Runa speaks excellent Polish and English, and even Spanish. I speak some Kurdish, so now we have an easier way to communicate. And I asked her after we finished the filmmaking process, you know, how come she was so open to be portrayed in the movie? How come they never said, no, this is too much, don't do this? And she told me that it was for two reasons. One, because she, for the first time, did not feel invisible when she was stuck in the forest and no one cared, and they were there for 18 days and nights. That was pure invisibility, like they didn't exist. And the camera lens gave her visibility. You know, she felt that she's not alone anymore. And now when we travel with the film, it's already over a year that we're traveling to many festivals, and when Runa is coming with me, sometimes she always insists on watching the film with the audience, always. I cannot do it anymore. I mean, I've watched the film over 100 times, but she needs this because she feels that people see her pain, and the pain is real, it exists, and somehow, in a very strange way, this helps her.
But in fact, I felt that Runa actually is a powerful person, and her father is a bit traumatized, and he really has to struggle. I mean, he can't get a job. He can't find a job. So, is Runa taking over the responsibility for the family? And he, I felt, was very weak and injured in a certain way.
Yeah, of course. He's a very good person, but he's helpless, weak, as you said. And this is actually a pattern I saw very often happening in the refugee camp, that all these men from patriarchal communities, they were falling apart during such extreme situations. And it was at some point, I felt like the whole camp is being run by teenage girls that just had to grow up in a second, you know, because they were the only ones left to make decisions, to really make decisions about the future of the whole family. So Runa is unique. She's strong, but she's one of really many, many girls I met in the refugee camp. And for me, it was very important to show this story, the refugee crisis, first of all, through one human. Because, you know, when we read in media about some refugees, statistics, it's easy to hate. It's easy to, you know, say, oh, it's not about me, irrelevant, I don't want to listen to it or read about it. But when you see a human with a name and a face, I think it's impossible to hate. So this was, you know, the first idea. And then the second one was that it should be a teenage girl, because I think teenagers are the weakest, the most vulnerable victims of this refugee crisis. Children are being taken care of by the adults as much as they can, of course. Adults are more conscious, they made these decisions, and teenagers are somewhere in between, you know? Children very easily move on, even from the biggest traumas. This is something I realized while I was following this family, and I still am, because, you know, it's not like we finished the film. There is no relationship. They are like, you know, my second family now. And it's amazing how they do move on, the younger boys. They have their own worlds now, and really, they're in a good place. But the only one that is stuck in the past is the father, and Runa, in a way, as well. She still has a trauma of trees, because she comes from the region in Iraq where there are really no trees. I mean, there are some, but, you know, not like big trees, forests. So this was her first experience with such huge trees. And, you know, even now when she goes to school, she never crosses the park. She takes the route around the longer way because she's still afraid of trees. So, you know, it's not like everything is fine, but we hope it will be.
Which brings us to the question about the animated parts in the film. Are they based on stories of her, or how did you work on the?
I realized that whenever really bad things were happening in Runa's life, she was just shutting herself away from the world and drawing. She had this sketchbook that you can see in the film in the refugee camp. This sketchbook was actually given to her by another refugee, a Syrian animation film director, who was there in the same camp and still is my good friend right now. So she gave her this sketchbook so she could fill it with these images that were stuck in her head. And then I realized that this is the best way to tell something that is very difficult to say with words, not to mention that we didn't have a common language in the beginning. And Runa is a very quiet girl, very, you know, locked inside. So for me, this was like a window into her imagination. So all these sequences are based on Runa's drawings, like every few second, there is something that she actually did draw, and on her dreams and nightmares that she was telling me. So we kind of like worked on these together to script them and put them into this visual language.
I would open up to the audience.
Agnieszka, thank you so much for this film. It's extremely, extremely wonderful. I can't even, you know, find English words to express it. And for me, as a person from Belarus, it was extremely important that you made this film, because unfortunately it can't be done on the other side, obviously. And I wonder, because you've told it, you travel now, like visiting different festivals with this film, and I wonder, what is the reception in Poland?
You know, when we go to film festivals, they are in a way a bubble, you know, people like you guys, good people, open-hearted people, sensitive people. So when we're traveling to festivals, actually the reception is the same all over the world, from, you know, LA to Indonesia, because it's a universal story, you know, of a refugee girl growing up. But when we went on HBO Max in Poland, which is really mainstream broadcaster, all these right-wingers suddenly realized that there is a film about the refugee, and they felt the need to share what they think about the refugees, about this girl. We were getting hate messages with Runa, and on the top of it, we were also, the two of us, we were nominated for this very prestigious award by a leading Polish female magazine, and we were on the cover of this female magazine, very popular. And, you know, we started to really receive hate messages from people, we will kill you, we will bury your body in my backyard, you know, like, then I realized that there is this whole other universe of people that they are very difficult to convince. But I have to tell you that during one of these screenings, I had in the audience a group of people who are very right-wing and very against refugees. It was a very unique screening, and I was there present. And they cried during the film. So, you know, this for me was, I think, the biggest award I ever got, that, you know, they cried even though they are against refugees. And that, then I talked to them for hours. And of course, you know, the story is, this girl is unique. These are really nice people, but the rest. So, you know, yeah, that's the way it goes in Poland. But this is a crack in the wall. You know, if I make one person that is against refugees cry with this film, I think that's at least a start.
I mean, you must have been lucky that in the end, it's a happy end, in a sense. But, I mean, there are a thousand others where it's not a happy end. So that's why probably you needed the last pictures and the numbers of people getting stuck or getting killed or got lost in the forest.
Yeah, the numbers, by the way, are much higher right now. We cannot update it every you know, week, because this horror still continues. And yes, you are right, it's in a way a happy end, or I would say happy-ish end, because nothing will bring back the life to their mother, you know. Runa will forever have this loss in her heart, and, you know, it's not really a happy end, I would say, but happy-ish, yeah. They are now more or less fine, and Runa is a straight A student, like really, she is one of the best students in a very elite high school, and she is planning to study law, so and become a human rights lawyer. You know, in a way, I think the presence of our camera also helped them get asylum status in Poland, because no one wants to be the bad guy in front of the cameras. Many families in a situation identical to theirs, many of whom I did know, I knew, were deported to Iraq. So this was also, you know, one of the reasons why Runa wanted me to film, because she is smart and she knew that this is like an insurance policy, that the camera, you know, is there to guarantee also their safety in a way. So yeah, in a way, yeah, this I think could have helped. But for her, it was also important that we were just there. And I remember, you know, one scene especially, I was filming the funeral of her mother. I was alone without my DOP. I was filming it myself, and I was crying all the time. I had no idea if the images are sharp or not. I put the camera away, and Runa gave me a sign with her head to pick it up. And this is when she approached the coffin. You know, like she was co-directing this scene in a way, because she wanted this to be filmed.
Quite impressive, quite an impressive experience for you.
Yeah, I mean, this film was an emotional roller coaster, really.
I wanted to ask if you already spoke some Kurdish when you started filming, or if you learned it in the process with the family?
No, of course I didn't. I mean, I'm not Kurdish. This is not one of the main languages we are being taught in Poland. But you know, when we started to work, we were filming in the dark. We could not have a translator with us due to security reasons in the camp. So we just explained the family what the documentary film is about to a translator, and then we're just alone. So very often we're just filming intuitively, you know, like based on emotions, on gestures, not knowing what they really talk about. And then I started to learn, like, you know, really a few words a day. And we and Runa started to learn Polish and English. And at some point, we're speaking like this language that I swear only we could understand each other. We call it Pol-Kurd-English. Mix like three languages in one sentence. So that's how it went. But now the kids are really fluent in Polish.
There's another question.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the movie. The fortress that Europe, what role do you think does critical whiteness and critical race theory apply to this context, help or not help? Because of course this is a very specific context, one family, one example, but thinking of the bigger structure, why do you think that we need to keep self-reflecting, even being in that bubble, and trying our best in our positions to achieve change, but still, what role do you think does that have? Thank you.
I know I'm a storyteller, not a politician. The only way I can change something is by telling a story that maybe will make people reflect on some things and see them in a different light. So, but I see what you're telling me about. I mean, Europe is getting more and more locked, right? It's like my Syrian friend, who is an animation film director. She was rejected visa to European Union 8 times. And that's when she was so desperate, she decided to take her little brother and just go through the forest. And these things will happen, and they will continue to happen. Fortunately, I don't have, you know, an idea how to solve it. If I did, I guess I would not be making films, you know, running for European Parliament, probably. But I think we really need to address this, and especially that as Europe we are privileged and we are responsible for so much damage around the world. We should share what we have with others. Yeah.
There are two questions. The one is, there's no way to stop Lukashenko from doing this policy. This is one question, and the other is the cause of death of the mother. It was not mentioned in the film, and maybe there's a reason for that. And maybe you could say something about that.
Avin simply froze to death, you know, it was hypothermia. She was for way too long in freezing conditions, -20 Celsius and so on. So, and this was the main cause of all the deaths on the Polish-Belarusian border, because there were some others as well, but this was the main one. Because this forest, I don't know if you know it, but it's really vast. There are like parts of it that were not even entered by scientists, you know? So we have no idea how many bodies there are actually in this forest, because the refugees went to places no one else did before, maybe animals. But about Lukashenko, I don't think there is a way to stop him, because you would first have to stop Putin. He is the mastermind behind this, and we all know it in Poland that this was actually Putin's idea of creating chaos on Eastern European border, to just create chaos and draw our attention also away from the war in Ukraine, which he was already thinking about.
Did the father get a job?
Oh yeah, he did actually. He has a very simple job as a construction worker, and he starts to speak some Polish too with his construction worker friends. So he brings back home some really cheesy construction worker jokes. But he has his also Polish friends now, which is amazing, you know. He has a beer with his Dichu every Friday.
Thank you very much for sharing your film with us, for the talk, and good luck for your next projects, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Ihr habt ein Gespräch mit Filmregisseurin Agnieszka Zwiewka unter der Moderation von Mike Schlömer gehört. Dieses Gespräch, wie gesagt, fand nach dem Film von Agnieszka Zwiewka Silent Trees statt im Kommunales Kino am 30. Mai. Ich weiß nicht, wie man diesen Film jetzt doch sehen kann, aber falls Kommunales Kino das wiederholt oder falls das irgendwo kommt, nochmal, heißt Silent Trees, ist natürlich mit Englisch Untertitel, und ich kann den Film an euch nur empfehlen, und damit verabschiedet sich Ech Oida. Und übrigens, in unserer nächsten Sendung erzählen wir wieder über wahrscheinlich übernächste Sendung, das weiß ich noch nicht 100%, aber wir erzählen wieder von einem der Filme von Freiburger Filmforum. Eine ganz tolle Veranstaltung auf jeden Fall. Übrigens, vergiss nicht, am Samstag, nicht an diesem Samstag, sondern am Samstag drauf, also am 26. Am Samstag 26. gibt es ein Sommerparty von Kommunales Kino, wo alle eingeladen sind. Und noch ein Veranstaltungshinweis. Am Samstag, den 25. Juli, bei dem Zeltmusikfestival tritt eine ganz tolle französische Band, Les Yeux de la Tête. Die Band ist französischer, geht es nicht. Sie sind aus Paris und trotzdem sehr, sehr interkulturell. Sie spielen Balkanmusik, sie spielen von Balkanmusik über Roma-Musik bis zu Chanson, die Musik, die sehr tanzbar ist und auch für Swing und Dancefloor-Liebhaber passend. Also nichts wie hin. Und das fängt um 20.30 Uhr am Freitag, 25. Juli. Über diese Band erzählen wir übrigens auch noch in unserer weiteren Sendung. Also bis dann. Tschüss. Papa. Пока. Добрый вечер. Oida auf Deutsch, jeden dritten und vierten Donnerstag im Monat.